the reason we're focusing on one another and how we relate to one another, it's not just so that we all get along, okay? It's not that God just wants his kids to stop fighting and to love one another. There's a reason for all the commandments throughout the Bible about how we treat one another. And we've looked at the reason in that great statement that Jesus made. And it was in the statement that he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because God's desire and his goal, in fact, it will happen, is that he is going to destroy the weapons and the outcomes of sin. He is going to destroy and restore his creation back to the joy and the beauty that it was meant to be. And how he's going to do that is through two things. First, it was through the cross of Jesus. It is in the work of Jesus that the power was manifested to restore us back to the life that God desires to give us. But in that power is used and it is manifested through one thing, and that is the church. It is through the church that brings the power of cross into the world. It is the church that is meant to use the cross and to bring the light into the darkness. And so Jesus said, yes, it is through me and me alone, but I am going to use the church to be my instrument to bring that victory into this world. And so therefore, he desires to build a church that reflects the very victory that he won on the cross. And so therefore, in building his church, we are the very ingredients of bringing that power to bear against sin and sorrow and all the brokenness of this world. And so if we are going to be the church that Jesus is building to break down all the things that we struggle with in this world, then we need to come together and be the church that Jesus is building. And it is through these one another commandments that Jesus builds his church. We are the very essence of what God is doing in the world. And so if we're going to see those things broken in our life, then we need to become part of the plan of Jesus to build the church. And that is where these one another commands come in, that as we embrace them, God builds his church through us. And so we have looked at the very core of all the one another commands a couple weeks ago, in that there was the command to love one another, because that's the essence of all of these. As we truly love one another, we become the church that God has built. But what does it mean to love one another? And so we've been expanding on that each week. Last week, we looked at the next area, that we are called to encourage one another. You cannot love someone if we are not encouraging one another. And we've talked about speaking into one another's life, about being the very motivation of courage and perseverance and endurance and growth in each other's life. And so we were called to encourage one another. Before we look at what we're going to talk about today, which is the next step in growing this church that is going to break down the power of sin, I want to tell you this little story. There was a story of a church in which an old, disheveled, dirty, not quite homeless, but she was poor. She was one that made do by odd jobs. She would roam the streets and collect trash and turn it in to get whatever she could. And one day, this lady, not smelling the best, but doing what she could, came into the church. And at the end, there was an invitation, and she came forth and accepted Christ and entered into that relationship. The next week, she came back again, and they were talking about being part of the church and all the things that the church does, and there was an invitation, and she came forth again. So I want to be a part of this church because Jesus has done something in my life. And the pastor, of course, as she came, he was nice, but you know, he was like, well, you know, thinking to himself, you know, she doesn't quite fit the mold. There's another church down the street that is more in her range, but you know what? We need to be Christianly and loving. And she said, I'd like to join your church and be a part. And he said, well, you know what, man, we're so glad you're here. But you know, this is a serious thing. It really is a deep matter. You know what, I'm going to ask you just to go and pray about it and just let God speak to you. And we just want his way in this matter. And she's like, okay, I will. I will do that. And I went back, and then, you know, she was back. And again, the next month, again, they talked about it again and made the invitation. And she came down again and said, I want to be a part of the church. I want to be a member and do whatever I can, be involved. He's thinking, man, but if she's in, I mean, we're glad that she comes, but if she's involved, you know, there's going to be people that won't want to be a part of that. And it might, you know, lower our attendance in different programs because she's going to want to be part of some of the programs. And man, I love for her coming, but I don't know about being really an active part. And he said, you know what? I think God really has a place for you. And we just let's just pray that God would show his place. And so I encourage you, let's pray about it some more, and then you come back. And she left again. And then he didn't see her for a few weeks. And it had been a while, and one day he was out in a restaurant and getting something to eat, and he looked over in the corner, and there she was, and it was right by the door. And he's like, man, I've got to go out, and I don't want to be rude or anything. I need to acknowledge her. And so on his way out, he stopped and said, hey, we've really missed you, and where have you been? It's been a long time. And she said, oh, pastor, and she had a smile on her face. She said, yeah, it's been a while, and I've just really grown in the Lord, and thank God for what he's been doing. And she said, and even, pastor, don't even worry about it, because I was praying, and Jesus answered my prayer like you asked me to pray, and Jesus told me, don't even worry about becoming a member of that church. He said, really? She said, yeah. As I was praying, he said he'd been trying to get into your church too and hasn't been able to this point, so you don't need to worry about me. There's a question. Is even Jesus trying to get into our church? And we are not allowing it. Because that brings us to what we're looking at today. Are we truly accepting one another? And as we look at this commandment that God has called us to accept one another, it's going to be different than what you think, because like that church we talked about, they saw themselves as accepting, and I think what we define as accepting is not accepting in Christ's eyes. And it's not that we have even turned anyone away that way, and that is a bad example of what we would not want to happen. But there are subtle ways, even within our own body, that we don't even turn anyone away, but we have not learned to live in the true life of acceptance that God wants to bring to us today. And so even if we don't even have any visitors here today or anyone new, there is still a next level of acceptance that I think God wants to open up our own minds, even within ourselves, even within this routine of church that we have gotten into. So let's look at our scripture, and it's in Romans chapter 15, and it really comes right after the scripture that we read last week about encouraging one another. How he prayed that God would give each one of us the same heart that is in Christ, that just as Christ has encouraged us, we would encourage one another. And he goes on from there, and he says this in Romans 15, verse 7. He says, accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So when we look at that, in some of your translations, it says receive one another. In some of it, it says welcome one another. But all of those words, whether it is receiving, whether it is welcoming, whether it is accepting, they all have a deeper meaning than just tolerating. Okay, I want you to think about that. Many times we accept one another, but what we're really doing is we're tolerating one another. We are accepting someone in a sense that, okay, I acknowledge you. And sometimes our acknowledgement of one another is the end of what we think is accepting. And so therefore, we think we're a very friendly church. And because, you know, we acknowledge people. And we're nice to them. And yet, this is not the meaning of this word that is translated accept or welcome or receive. The word, as we look at, we need to focus on is to accept. To accept. The Greek word is, and I don't know how if this is really how it's pronounced, but it's proslamban. Proslamban. And it means, in its outward, to receive kindly and hospitably. And there's the problem. We can receive kindly, but many times, again, do we go to that place of hospitableness? Are we hospitable? And what does that really mean to show hospitality? Okay, hospitality, and the deeper meaning of this word is to embrace. It is to take into your home. How many know that when you host someone, you bring them into your very home? It is a picture of living life with them. It is not just a greeting, because later on it will tell us to greet one another. We're called to greet with one another with a holy kiss. In other words, there's an intimacy. There is an actual level of relationship. But this is not to greet one another. This is to receive one another, to accept one another. And so here's how it goes on and explains this. It says, this means to receive wholeheartedly, to warmly welcome to yourself, to grant admission into your heart, to look beyond anything superficial, and to be willing to open into a building relationship. Now you see, that's what it means to really accept someone, to open up to building a relationship, to deeply welcome them. So the word welcome is not just welcome, glad to see you here, but it is to welcome them into your heart. That means there is a level of vulnerability. There is an openness that when we are welcoming them, we're not just welcoming them to the service. Hey, glad to have you here. But there is a step of involvement. There's an entanglement. The picture there of accepting. Think of this word. When people have desperate sickness, okay, whether it is all different things today, lungs, hearts, kidneys, livers, many times there is a wonderful, miraculous thing that God made us in a sense that we are able to receive transplants. And a transplant, we all know, is where they take out an unhealthy part and replace it with a healthy part. But when they do that, it brings life. It brings wholeness and renewal. But there's always one problem. There's the danger of it not being accepted, right? It is not that the body spits it out, but it does not let the general flow of life continue through that new part. And so there's a rejection of it. When Jesus says you are to accept one another, it is not just to acknowledge them, it is not just to greet them, but it is to be vulnerable, and it is to let your very life flow through them, that they become part of building your life. And we need to ask ourselves, are we really that accepting? Are we, to that point, have we really accepted one another? Maybe you have been sitting in here with the same people at church every Sunday. You come to church, but just because you have been part of this church every Sunday does not mean you have accepted anyone here, because some of us have not opened up our life to them. You see, we come to church, we do our thing, and we go to home and back to our life. That is not, God is saying churches, we are meant to be one another's life. And I know we have gotten out of that. This is a different culture today, but that doesn't make it right. Just because we're a lot more busier, we're a lot more separated, and it's not like it used to be, where everyone used to come to church and, man, this was the center of everything. Just because things have changed does not mean they're right. We are called to intertangle ourselves with one another. Because if we are to be a church that has the power to break the effects of sin in this world, then we cannot just be a loose confederation of people who just see each other and are friendly to one another. We are not going to have that power unless we begin to start to welcome one another into our lives, begin to build relationships. So to accept one another means to build relationships, that we begin to be intertangled with one another. You see, as we begin to be part of a church, that church should start to push itself into our life. It should start to become maybe inconvenient at times, because it should become something that starts to interweave itself, not just to our Sunday mornings, but into our very life fabric. This is the picture that Jesus gave us of the church. He said, "You have been grafted in." You see, when we became saved, we didn't just get forgiven of your sins and now you're a Christian. You got grafted in to the plan of God. There is a purpose of God. And if you are grafted in, that means that you are to start to begin to be connected. See, there's the key, connection. Not just passing by each other, but connected. And as we accept one another, then the power of God begins to grow. Now, here's the thing. Everyone was created to need connection. We were not created just to need friends. We were not created just to need, many times what we think of acceptance is someone to like me. We were created for connection. The problem is we connect. You are connecting to things. It's just not the body of Christ. You come to church, but you're not connected to the body of Christ. And that is why you still struggle with things in this world. That's why everything is a constant struggle. It's always an up and down. You do good for a while, but you do, you know, then it goes back to the same, because you have refused to make that connection. And that connection is where the life flow comes from the vine into the branches. You become grafted into one another. I don't want to be grafted into them. I'm telling you, that's where surrender comes in, because God has chosen that process to bring life. And everyone needs it. There's been studies done with children, not only human babies, but even animal babies. They've been done study with monkeys, that when they were born, they would take a monkey and they would give it everything it needed. They would give it food, but it never interacted with another monkey. Okay? They had machines that would come in, clean away the waste, give it water, food. I know this sounds sad. Every one of them, within short time, would die. They died, even though they were given everything they need. And then they would take another set of monkeys and they would put within it, some of them, they would even put a stuffed mother, not a real monkey, but something that was soft and it was cloth and it was filled, one that they could hold on to and it would nurture. And out of it, they would even put sounds that would come out of it. And even with that little amount of connection that they would crawl up and hold on to this representation, it found that they would live, even if they didn't get as much food or water. Because even within that, there was a need for connection. And we see that in our life. We may think we're fine, and some of us are more loners than others. But even if we're the ones that, man, I'm okay just doing things on my own, I'm going to tell you, we need connection. You may be able to survive, but we will never thrive. We will never have the power that the church is meant to have. Am I saying that you're not going to be a Christian and go to heaven? No, I'm not saying that. That's up to God, and I believe if you believe in Jesus, then you are saved. But you will never thrive, and you will be a hindrance to the church that God is trying to break down the gates of hell. But because we are choosing not to connect and intertwine ourselves, you will never thrive and know the power of God in your life like it was meant to be. God desires the church to be that place of connection. We were created for connection, and it was meant to be found in the church. Now you might say, well, we find it at home. The home is great. But if the home is not an outpouring of the church, then that home is going to be a weak imitation of what God desires in the church. Now, families are the backbone of the church, but they are meant to be connected to the church, not on their own. And so we need to ask ourselves, where is the place where we are finding acceptance? Yes, you can be happy with your friends and your family, but we need to bring those places into the context of the church. And there, it's more than being just happy. Then it's about being powerful and impactful for the kingdom of God. And there's a difference. See, so many times we have settled for, I just want to have a happy life. You know what? That's self-centered. It's the very source of sin. There's more than just being happy in life, because God is going to give us happy for eternity. God has called us right now for a purpose, and that is to break down the gates of hell. And for that, we need to accept one another. And I mean come together and embrace one another, not just in friendliness, but in acceptance. You are my life flow. I'm going to be your life flow. And I am not going to live life without one another. Well, not only that does it say that we need to accept one another, but the scripture went on that we read. It said we are to not only accept one another, but we are to do it as Christ accepted us. Now, that's a different thing. There's two things that Christ exemplifies. We know that Christ accepted us just as we are. So the first thing, the way Christ accepted us, is anyone just how they are. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and you probably all know the scripture, says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So the first thing is, who do we need to accept? If we're going to accept like Christ, then we need to begin to understand that while people are at their worst, those are the people we need to invite in. And not just to accept like, oh, we're glad you're here. But I mean willing to be vulnerable, to let them be grafted in to our life, to our routine, to bring them into our very routine and intimacy, this is how Christ accepted us. Whether they are rich or whether they are poor. Now, I know many times we talk about the acceptance of people that are like homeless and dirty. And yes, we do need to break down those barriers. You've got to stop being judgmental. We got to stop worrying about that and do this. But I'm going to tell you the opposite is true. And sometimes some of us have a harder time accepting others that are maybe better than us. Sometimes it's harder to, because you know what we think? Well, they're just arrogant and they just have it all. You need to accept them just as much as you need to accept the homeless. It doesn't matter. We need to learn to accept anyone, red and yellow, black and white, whether they speak Spanish or Chinese or English or Swahili. We are to see them as Christ saw us. They are images of God created as part of our life. Are we willing to accept as Christ accepted? But not only did Jesus accept people the way they were, but here's another way he accepted that many times we pass over. He didn't just accept them and say, you know what, I came for you. You know, you are forgiven. And I will touch you like the lepers. You know, he touched people that other people wouldn't touch. And we say, oh, that was so great. But he did more than that. And we think, you know, we'll do that too. But I'm going to tell you what else he did. See, we stop right there. He then said, you think of Zacchaeus, who was a sinner. He was a tax collector. And Jesus stopped and said, Zacchaeus, your faith is going to make you right. You are forgiven. But not only did he accept him, even though the other people didn't want anything to do with him, what did he do then? And you know what? I'm going to your house. We're going to begin to live together. Oh, do you recognize that? That Jesus didn't just accept people that had been pushed away, but he intertwined his life with them. He didn't just accept them and say, oh, great faith, go and be saved. Go and be saved. He said, you're forgiven. Oh, and now I'm going to come with you. And now we're going to do life together. See, that's why the Pharisees hated him, not just because he forgave the sinners and not just because he touched the lepers and he wasn't disgusted by the harlots and the prostitutes. It's because he took the next step. He really accepted them by living life with them. Hey, come and follow me. Be with me. And I'm going to go to your house and we're going to have lunch. You see, acceptance has two steps. Yes, we need to get rid of bigotry, get rid of prejudice, get rid of judging one another. But then we also need to inconvenience ourselves. And there's the biggest part why we don't accept one another. We don't have time for one another. I have my own schedule. Jesus says, unless you do away with your schedule and let it become God's purpose, then the church will never be built. It'll be built, but it'll be a weak little boy going out against the enemy with a BB gun. And I don't mean like a David-type BB gun against Goliath. I mean like a Saul who had no power at all. And we think we're so great of a church because we're so friendly, but yet we are refusing to truly intertwine together. You know, we don't have time to come together when we have fellowships. We don't have time to come together when we have this. Maybe one other thing. We don't have time to come together on Wednesday nights for Bible. All of those things are how we intertwine ourselves, guys. It's to the amount of intentionality that you put into growing relationships with this church is to the amount that this church is going to have power over the things of the enemy. Because I think many of us, we want to see the gates of hell be brought down in our life, in our home, in our family. And we wonder why they aren't happening. And it's because the church is not being built through us. And we are not allowing ourselves to be accepted in the church because we will not begin to engage. We don't have time, or we're too tired, or you know, it's too hot outside, or it's too cold outside, or I'm not feeling quite well. The enemy laughs and says, I knew that's all it would take. to keep us from becoming the church. So if we're going to love as Christ accepted us, Christ went beyond those boundaries. He was willing to be inconvenienced. He was willing to say, I'm going to accept you, not just in acknowledging you, but we are going to live life together. And we are going to be the body of Christ. In fact, that's why he used the image of a body. A body, the hand doesn't just show up one morning, hey, how's the face doing? Okay, we'll see you later. No, it's part of the body the whole time. Everywhere the body goes, the hand goes with me. Thank God I need my hands. And yet, are we a body? Are we connected? Are we living? Is the life flow of God flowing through us? That's how Jesus accepted. And there's so many examples. There's the example of the Samaritan woman. Remember, his disciples went to get food, and Jesus met this lady at the well. And he didn't just be nice to her, as any a good Christian would be, but he did more than that. He began to ask her about her life. He began to encourage her that, you know what, I have something to give you. If you would drink of this, you will find joy. And not only that, he sent her off, bring your friends. They ended up not even being able to leave that city, and the disciples came back and said, what's going on? He says, well, we're not done yet. We're going to go have some with all these friends of hers. They're like, what? She's a woman, first of all, and she's a Samaritan. And yet, he accepted them. He had a place to draw them into his life. You think of, I've already given you example of Zacchaeus and of Matthew that were tax collectors. You know, it's not that they were disgusting, but they were sinners. And they were traitors to the Jews because they worked with the Romans. And yet Jesus said, that doesn't matter. You see, here's the thing. We are only able to accept people when we realize that we're worse than them. Everyone, we are worse than anyone else. You know why? Because you're you, and you have control over you. You don't have control over them. When we begin to realize that I'm in worse shape than anyone else, then I can accept anyone else. Because it says that all of us are sinners, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. I don't know who you think you are, but we need to be connected to them because I need their life. It says that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags, and yet we think someone else is too dirty for us or someone else is too snobbish for us. You see, we need to accept like Christ. Christ was willing to open himself up and bring them in. But the third thing is probably the most important. He said that we are to accept like Christ for one purpose, to the praise of our God. It is not just to do what's right, but it is to realize that as we begin to grow together, God is lifted up. We begin to accept one another. We need to enter into a living relationship with one another. You know why? Because that is what praises God. That is when you become something that God looks at and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. I am glorified because of you. Because, not because of what you did, not that you did anything, but that you embraced my plan. You embraced my creation. You see, it is when we do that that God is glorified. And when God is glorified, here's the thing. You are more satisfied. If you want satisfaction and happiness, here's the best way to find satisfaction in your life. Bring glory to God. The world cannot understand that. No, here's what the world says. The way to be satisfied, enjoy life. The way to be happy, get everything you can have and do what you like. And yet that's not how the creation works. The creation works that when God is glorified, we find ourselves most satisfied. You know why? Because we were created in the image of God for one purpose, to have relationship with him. And it's because of our creation, the way we were made, How many know that when you use something for what it was made for, man, it works best. But when you try and use it for something else, it doesn't quite work. That's like, man, a hammer is great and a shovel is great. But if you try and dig a hole with a hammer, you're going to have a hard time. And when you try and pound nails with a shovel, you might get it done, but it's not going to be pretty and it's going to be painful. So God says, dig holes with the shovel, pound nails with the hammer. You are created to live with one another, to embrace one another, to become the body. And then you find yourself working smooth and satisfying and happy, even if you don't have what you thought you wanted. You see, when we accept one another as Christ accepted us, God is glorified. And when we give glory to God, you will be satisfied. Man, you think, I'm not looking forward to this. Okay, God's really touched me. I'm going to have to give up some things. You'll find once you give those things up and begin to truly enter into the flow of God and begin to give yourself over to that, oh, you know, at first it might be hard, but the more you do it, the joy of the Lord starts to fill your heart. And you will be more satisfied when God is glorified as the church is built. That as we accept one another and become a living temple of God, built together, it says, on each other, intertwined to where your life is my life, we find the glory of God fills the temple. And now my heart is satisfied and it is filled with the life that God wants us to have. I want to close with this story. It's a true story of a young boy in Poland during World War II. And as you know, the Nazis came in quickly and stormed through Poland and took them over in the early parts of World War II. They were one of the first areas that the Jews began to be persecuted and exterminated. And this boy was a Jewish boy who lived in a small Jewish village in Poland. They came in and rounded up everyone in the village, lined them up, had them dig their own trench, a shallow grave in the middle of the town. And then once they had dug this shallow grave, they were all lined up, the little boy right there with his families. And then the Nazis began to just spray them with bullets. And as they fell, an amazing thing, as they just sprayed them, the bullets did not hit this one young boy. And as his parents, who were right by him, were slaughtered, the blood and dirt of everyone fell upon him, and everyone fell back into the grave that they had dug for themselves. And the boy miraculously was not hit by the bullets. And yet he laid there, pretending to be dead, even as they covered the grave with dirt. But it was such a shallow grave, and the gaps between the bodies in which the boy laid, he was able to breathe for a while. And so he laid there for hours, not knowing if it was nighttime. But after a while, he clawed his way through the bodies and through the dirt and out of the grave and quickly ran to try and find help and a place of refuge. But every door he went to, he knocked and they saw him. They knew what had happened. They knew who he was. One of the Jewish boys, afraid that the Nazis would come against them, they said, "We cannot help you. You have to leave." House after house would not bring him in, not wanting, and understandably, the recourse of the enemy that would come upon them. Finally, something came into the boy's mind, which was a strange thing for him to think. But he went to one of the houses, and the next house he knocked. And the lady opened the door and saw him, but she knew what that meant for her. And she said, "No, I can't." He said, "Ma'am, don't you recognize me?" She said, "Yeah, you're a little Jewish boy." He said, "I'm the Jesus that you say that you love." And immediately, The recognition hit her heart. And they took this boy in. And they put him off as one of their own. Let no one know who he was. And for years they raised this boy and gave him life. And he lived from there. Guys, people around us, we need to accept. But here's the way we accept them. You need to realize they are the Jesus that we say that we love. If we say we love Jesus, how can we not accept one another? And not just love and greet one another, but bring them into our home and our life. Inconvenience ourselves, because it says that if we do it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Jesus, when we stand before him, is going to say, what did you do for me? We're going to say, I never saw you, Jesus. He said, you saw me every day with the people around you. Yeah, you were nice to them. And maybe you were not prejudiced against them. Maybe but you didn't accept them. Even the people in your church, we need to accept. We need to begin to ask ourselves, am I really intertwining myself in the building of the church that God has called us to be? Let's accept one another just as Christ has accepted us to the glory of God. Let's bow our hearts.